Welcome everyone to our worship service here this Lord's Day. This will be our only worship service today. After this service, it'll be our church picnic, and then immediately after the picnic, there'll be a short time of psalm singing, and hopefully we can do that outside. I think it's fairly sheltered out there with the two walls. There's not much wind at the minute. So that'll be a short time of psalm singing after the church picnic, and the church picnic immediately after the morning service. So there'll be nothing recorded apart from the morning service today, and hopefully that'll go onto the website then later on, and the morning service CDs will be distributed tomorrow. So welcome those who are visiting with us today. It's good to have you here. Welcome those who are in through in the church building, and hello to all who'll be listening to this at some stage later on. The announcements for other things then: Wednesday evening of this week, 1st of September, is a meeting of the Northern Presbytery, and that's in Ballymoney, in the hall at Ballymoney at 7:30. Then next Lord's Day, the Sabbath school classes are due to resume at 11 a.m. next Lord's Day, and then worship services 12 noon and 7:30 p.m. Session is due to meet on Wednesday the 8th of September, and that'll be 8 o'clock here in the church hall, and at that meeting we'll be discussing our program of events and church activities and how we do things over the coming weeks and months. So that's quite an important meeting, Wednesday the 8th, the session meeting. Then on Friday the 10th of September, that is the date for the installation of Reverend Harry Coulter in the Enniskillen Church. And there's been an invitation come to Karatz as a congregation, and we're invited to send 6 people to that installation service. It's in a primary school quite close to the church building in Enniskillen. It's at 7:30 on Friday the 10th of September. And so if there's any people who would particularly like to go to that, if you can say to me, and I'll see how our numbers are for that installation service, Friday the 10th. Then the following Friday, within the Northern Presbytery, is another important event. It's the licensure of Mr. Paul Wallace, and that's due to take place in Cullibackey RP Church on Friday the 17th of September. I think it's 7:30, but I'll find out on Wednesday at the presbytery meeting, and that will be, I think that's open to anyone to attend. So I would like to have a meeting as soon as possible in regard to making plans for CY for the coming weeks and months. If it's possible to meet on Friday night, we'll try to arrange that. So be in touch with the older folk and the older young folk in the CY about getting together to make some plans and preparations. There's a new missionary prayer letter covering September, October, November. That's a yellow color, and that's on the tables on the way in, whether you come into the hall or into the church building. So those are the announcements for this week, and we join together now in the worship of God. Come to God in prayer, and if you're able, please stand as we pray. Our Father in heaven, we give thanks for today. We thank you, Lord, for this last Lord's Day of this month. And we praise you for these summer months that we've been in. We give thanks for lots of nice sunshine in the past week, and for your goodness to us in that. But, O Lord, we know that the summer does not last forever. And we do give thanks, Lord, for the different seasons that you send our way. And we pray for the autumn season to come. And we look to you, Lord, for your help in a time of change as schools start back And as church activities and different things get going again, we pray, Lord, for your blessing in all of that. We pray for those who are not able to be with us today, some not well. And we pray, Lord, for your presence with those not able to be in a place of worship today. We pray that you will be with us as we turn to your word, as we read the things that you have put into the scriptures. And we pray, Lord, that you'll be pleased to help us to learn from what you tell us to be true. Help us to understand the way that our world and our society thinks, and to see, O Lord, your wisdom being greater than the wisdom of this world. We ask you will forgive us our sins, and we pray that you help us, O Lord, to remember you now and to bring you our worship. And we pray all in and through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Let us read from the Word of God. If you'll turn, please, to the New Testament and to Paul's letter to the Romans. And I want to read part of Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 in our church Bible, it'll be page 999. Paul's letter to the Romans, the first chapter. And I read from verse 16 through to the end of chapter 1. So let us hear this, the word of God. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. And so reads God's own true word. Now, I'll say a few words to the children that are here today in one place or another, or those who are listening at home later on. A few days ago, there was a program that was on TV, and it was a program that was all about water. It was the first of three different programs about how important water is in our world. Whenever I'm preaching, I always have a glass of water in here because sometimes I need to take a drink. I don't like to need that much water, William, but usually I have about that much water in my glass, and that usually does the job. Well, water is a really important thing in our world, and there are these three programs on TV, all about the importance of water, and about the problems that there are in the world when there's a shortage of water that can be drunk. Now, I didn't watch the program. I wasn't free at the time that it was on. But I was reading in the newspaper about this TV program that was coming up. And one of the things that it said about this program is that there would be a famous scientist who would be speaking on the TV program. And he would be telling about his surprising discovery that water didn't come to this earth on asteroids, like big stars that smashed into the earth, but he had discovered that water had been here all the time. And so here was this great scientist, and he had made this great discovery, and he had always believed that water came from somewhere else, that it didn't used to be here in this world, and somewhere or other, I don't know how he believes to have discovered this, but he discovered that water has always been here in this world. Well, you know, boys and girls, I could have told that man that when I was 4 years old, I think. Because when I was a boy, and as soon as I learned to write, I liked to open the Bible at the very beginning of the Bible and write out as many verses as I could before I got tired. And right at the beginning of the Bible, this is what it says. If I can find Genesis 1. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And then the next verse tells us what the earth was like. "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." So way back in the beginning, when God made our world, it was a big watery world, and water was there. Water has been there from the very beginning when God made the world. And then God separated the land from the water. But the water has always been there. It didn't come from outer space. God put it there when God made the world. And so there you are. Sometimes people who are scientists, people who can be very, very clever, they believe things that are totally silly. And they do that because they don't want to believe in God. They don't want to believe that there is a God who made the world. But they would rather come up with their own thoughts and their own ideas. And then sometimes they find that those ideas are just totally wrong and totally silly. So there are people who are very smart, but they can be very, very foolish. And there are lots of people in the world like that, and I'm going to be talking about that today in our service. People can be smart, but they can be very foolish at the same time. Now we're going to turn to God in prayer. And I'll just mention that our new men entering into training for gospel ministry are due to start their studies in a couple of days' time. They start with 4 weeks of learning New Testament Greek, and we have three new students beginning at the Theological College, Johnny Fitzsimons and Sam McDonald from our Woodstock congregation, and Kenny Stevenson from Fairview. Sam McDonald hasn't been well in recent times. The doctors think he's got long COVID. And so we can pray in particular for him that his health will improve and that he will be able to begin his studies, that he'll be able to concentrate. And then the men that have just finished at the Theological College, they've got that all behind them. And over the next number of months, they're going to be sort of working as assistant ministers. Paul Wallace will be in Trinity. John Coulter will begin his time in Ballylagan, and Paul Flynn starts his time in Cullibackie, and that will be this week. Those men will be starting into what's called their graduate placement. So we remember those men in our prayers. Also, be praying for Raymond Christie. Raymond is due to go for his surgery that he's been waiting on for some time. That's due to be happening on Wednesday. And he's thankful that that has come around and been possible. So we turn to God now in prayer. And if you're able, please stand then as we pray. Gracious God in heaven, we look to you with thanksgiving for your goodness and faithfulness. We thank you that you are the God of all wisdom. You're the God who made this world. You're the God who knew the importance of water in this world. We thank you that you know far more about water than all of the scientists in our world put together. And we thank you that in the Bible, O Lord, you tell us how things came about. And you tell us what this world is all about. You tell us how it's all going to end. And we praise you, Lord, that these things are not a mystery to us. They're not hidden from us. We don't have to discover them for ourselves, but we need to believe what you tell us in your word. We praise you, O Lord, for the church that you are building. We thank you for your cause throughout the earth. And we praise you, Lord, for how you provide ministers in different places at different times. Pray for Reverend Harry Coulter. Pray for the Coulter family as they'll be moving very soon to Enniskillen and soon beginning that new ministry there. And we pray for that new work, that you will give all that's needed in the changes ahead. We pray for the vacant congregation of Brady and the call they've made to Stephen McCollum in Stornoway. And we pray, Lord, for your guiding and leading in that. We give thanks for the men who have finished their college training. We pray that they will learn much from their placements and working in churches over these next months. And when the time comes when they'll be eligible to receive calls, we pray that they will receive calls and that you will help them in any choices they have to make between going one place or going another. We pray for the new students that they will be able to start into their studies this week. Pray for Reverend Warren Peel as he seeks to teach them the basic things of New Testament Greek, and we pray that that will go well. And we pray, Lord, for your blessing upon those men as they enter into these 3 years of studying in preparation for future ministry. We pray for children starting back to schools and teachers starting back to schools over the coming days. We give thanks for the long summer holidays and for the blessing that time has been. And we pray for the arrangements being put in place for children starting back into school. We pray for those who will be moving on to a new school. We think of Amber in particular, that you'll be with her. Pray that things will go really well as she starts into her new school. We pray for wisdom also in church activities resuming. We praise you for the easing of regulations and the things that will be possible that haven't been possible at other times. And Lord, we pray for wisdom for the elders in discussions and decisions regarding these things. We pray for the different presbytery meetings this week. And we pray, Lord, for those that they will be beneficial, and for your help in the work of our presbyteries. We give thanks, Lord, for the recent wedding here of Philip and Rebecca. Pray for them as they commence married life in Carrickfergus, and we ask that you'll provide for them in all the new things that they'll be facing. We pray for John away in England, and we ask that you watch over him, keep him safe in his work, and we pray that this time away will be beneficial for him. And Lord, we pray for your daily mercies in his situation there. We give thanks for your goodness in the bringing round of the time for Raymond's surgery. We thank you that you've guarded his health, that he's kept well, that he's been able to be out here apart from the times when he's needed to be shielding. And we pray that all will go well on Wednesday, that the surgery will go ahead, that it will be successful. And we pray for Raymond and Ellen in the weeks ahead as he recovers and the new things that we'll have to get used to. We pray, Lord, for others who are ill and housebound at these times, and we pray for your daily help in the challenges of life in these days. We pray for those who have been bereaved over the summer weeks and months, and we pray, Lord, for your help in the loss that people have experienced. We think of the country of Afghanistan, much in the news in these days, and we pray for those who are Christians in that land. We pray for them that you will help them, O Lord, to be courageous and to be faithful, and we pray for your guarding of them. We pray that you will bless their witness in the midst of all the fears they will have for the changes that are coming into their lives. Lord, you're the one who rules over all of these things, and we pray that you will remember your people and be gracious unto them. Lord, we look to you in our prayers. We thank you that you are the sovereign God, the one against whom no one can stand. And we pray that you will work mightily for your glory and for the good of your church throughout the earth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we look to God's Word today, and if you'll turn please to Romans chapter 1, where we read earlier. And I want to speak today on just a few words of the Apostle Paul that are found here in Romans chapter 1. And they're the words of verse 22, where Paul says, "Professing to be wise, they became fools." And Paul was writing there about the world of his day. And there were many people who lived in Paul's day, and they thought they were wise, but they were actually foolish. Now, the world hasn't changed. And the days that we live in, it's exactly the same situation. Our 21st century Western world is full of people who think they're so much wiser than all the people who have lived before them. But in fact, they're fools. These words here in Romans 1:22, "Professing to be wise, they became fools." These words are true of many of our actors and actresses, many of our singers, many of our sports stars, many of those social media influencers, many writers, many politicians, many other people. It can be said of them, as Paul says here, professing to be wise, they became fools. And those today who are followers of our Lord Jesus Christ will often encounter people in different situations who will think that we are fools, that we are foolish because of the things that we believe. They will see us as being fools, and they will see themselves as being wise. And they will profess to be wise, as Paul writes of. And if we don't agree with their views, then we will be rejected as fools. But the truth is that they are the ones who, although they profess to be wise, they have become fools. And today I want to speak about some of the ways in which today's people think. Those of you who are older will realize that people today seem to think in a different way from people thought when you were young. And I want to speak about five features of modern thought. And in doing so, I'm going to be drawing upon a chapter which is in a book by Tim Keller, simply called Preaching. I don't imagine many of you will read a book called Preaching, but we read it in our minister's fraternal, and I thought sometime I would preach on that general subject. So my sermon title today is Five Pillars of Modern Foolishness. There are five pillars of Islam, five key things in Islam. Well, I want to speak about five pillars of modern foolishness. And my intention is that it will help you to just put piece together why the world is the way it is, and why it is that people think in the way they do think. I want to try to help you to make some sense of this present age in which we live. So, five pillars of modern foolishness. Here's the first one. First one is trust in science and technology. Paul says in verse 25 about the fools of his era that they exchanged the truth of God for the lie. The same thing is happening today. Many people who profess to be wise, who think of themselves as being experts in particular fields, they have rejected any thought of God. They don't believe that religion of any sort can solve the problems of our world. They believe that religion, including Christianity, is part of the problem. They believe that the problems of our world have physical causes rather than spiritual causes. And because they believe that there's a physical cause for everything that's wrong, they look for solutions and answers in science and in technology. We can sort these problems. They are physical problems. So Keller writes that this view holds that our problems will yield to technological solutions if we throw enough time, money, and effort at discovering them. That's the belief. You throw enough time, enough money, and enough effort at discovering the solutions, you will find them. Well, how much time? How much time is needed? How much money is needed? How much effort is needed? What about the person on the waiting list for surgery? Not much help to them. The belief that enough time, enough money, and enough effort, eventually there'll be a solution found to these problems? How much time, effort, and money are needed? Science and technology didn't begin in the last century. Science and technology have been with us from the beginning of mankind. They've been on the go for centuries. And can we say that the world's problems are any closer to being sorted now than they have been at any stage in the past? We have seen, surely, great advances in medicine, great advances in science and technology. And what else have we seen? We've seen great abuses of science and technology and medicine. And we still live in a messed up, broken world. There's been lots of time, there's been lots of money, there's been lots of effort, and this is where we are. Things like psychology and sociology, these things haven't solved the world's problems. Those who profess to be wise, those who have rejected God, have become fools. They are trusting in something that is never going to work. There is a spiritual cause to the problems in our world. And it is only the gospel of Jesus Christ that gets to the heart of the spiritual problem. So the first pillar of modern foolishness is trust in science and technology. That trusting in those things above everything else, that is foolishness. The second pillar of modern foolishness that I will mention is the irrational belief that things can only get better. The idea that mankind and society is always taking strides forward. It is the belief that change and progress are the same thing. That change always means progress. Keller says that history is seen as automatically making progress in every stage. And this is a belief that we're always moving forward. It's a belief that ties in well with trusting in technology, because technology is progressing. And people like to transfer that to the thought of mankind in general. And they think, well, history is progressing and the world is progressing. And this idea is at the heart of much modern thinking. Politicians love to speak about being a modern progressive society. It's a vote winner for them. I think that's what people want to be, a modern progressive society. And they believe that all the changes that are taking place within society, these must constitute progress. The old ways of seeing things are being left behind, and new ways are being embraced. And because that's the direction of flow, the assumption is that it must be a good direction. And the slogan that often encapsulates it all is that you don't want to be on the wrong side of history. You don't want to be found standing against the tide. The modern idea of history always progressing, it assumes that the new is always better. I wonder, has that been your experience in life? Has the new always been better in your experience? Surely we know that that's not the case. Surely we know that there are things in our lives today and that they just aren't better than what we had before. Things can get worse as well as getting better. And what does the study of history tell us? There was such a period as the Dark Ages when things were really, really grim right across the world for centuries and centuries. And within particular parts of the world, particular countries or areas, there have been some very, very dark times. And you can't say that there was always progress there. Keller comments that the Nazis were sure that they were on the right side of history. But that's not the verdict today. I'm sure it won't be long before you hear someone in the public eye talking about things that have no business in the 21st century. And that's what the modern Western world really wants to say about the Christian faith. Christian faith has no place in the 21st century. It belongs in a previous era. And we know better now. We have progressed beyond it. And this is another matter where it is true what Paul says, professing to be wise, they became fools. And Paul, in this second half of Romans chapter 1, he warns that when people do what he speaks of in verse 18, when they suppress the truth, when they don't allow God's truth to shape their thinking, when they exchange the truth of God for the lie, as he says in verse 25, when that happens, it does all catch up on us. We do reap what we sow. And when things become progressively worse, well, that's not the progress that you want to have. There is progress in the wrong direction. And what is new is not necessarily progress, good progress. Those who fear being on the wrong side of history are fools. But those who fear being on the wrong side of God are wise. So that's the second pillar of modern foolishness, the belief that change always means progress. The third pillar of modern foolishness that I want to highlight is a warped view of personal freedom. It is worshiping freedom of choice. And many people today want to believe that they are free to do whatever they want as long as they don't hurt anybody else. And God doesn't come into the picture at all because He isn't anyone else. Each person is to be free from constraints. Each person can, of their own accord, make their own choices, and nobody should interfere with that. And this is a trend that leads to an utterly self-centered society. It leads to the breakdown of society. If everyone just does what they want to do, society falls apart. People make bad choices. That's what stares us in the face. People make bad choices all the time. People will do what they think suits them, and society will fall apart. The worship of personal freedom spells disaster for meaningful relationships. If everyone is absorbed in themselves, if everybody's busy doing what they want to do, well, love cannot flourish, and relationships cannot flourish. And that's what we see in our Western society. People are reluctant to commit themselves to proper relationships. And they enter into casual relationships where there's no commitment and where you can move on whenever it suits you to move on. There's a fear of being committed. There's an unwillingness of people to give themselves to others. And there's no thought at all of giving themselves to God. And personal freedom is worshipped as being the great desirable thing. But personal freedom, such as that, is not true freedom at all. It is slavery to yourself. To be able to do what you want to do all the time, that will not be good for you. I'm sure young people know that from the summer holidays. You're free to do whatever you want. And do you ever actually get much done at all that's any good? It's only when you get back to school and you have to do this and you have to do that and you have to do the other. And you achieve so much more when you're not just free to do whatever you want to do. We're really no good at handling personal freedom. And each one of us, we're a very poor master to serve. Getting what we want, having everything our own way, that is not a good thing. That is a sugar-coated poison. I was reading recently a little bit about the life of Freddie Mercury, the lead singer in the rock band Queen, whose songs feature in many different adverts for products and whatever. Freddie Mercury's life came to a really grim and sad end. He wanted to break free, and he did break free. And he sang, "Don't stop me now. I'm having a good time. I don't want to stop at all." And he was crossing all sorts of boundaries, getting into all sorts of crazy sexual lifestyles. And it all came to a disastrous end. He pursued personal freedom to do whatever he wanted to do. And it didn't work out well. And in Romans chapter 1, when God lets people have their own way, when he gives them over to their own desires, the result is disastrous. It's wickedness, it's evil-mindedness. These things run riot, and sexual immorality is to the fore. And people become trapped by their own freedom. And in professing to be wise, they become fools. That's the third pillar of modern foolishness. It's the worshipping of freedom of choice. Then the fourth pillar of modern foolishness is swapping morality for human rights. Out with morality and in with human rights. When you abandon God, you end up abandoning true moral standards. If there is no God to tell us what is right and what is wrong, well then we have to decide for ourselves what is right and what is wrong. And what you end up with is human rights where God is excluded. And in our modern Western world, there's a great reluctance to speak about right and wrong. Everything becomes a matter of opinion. Everything becomes a matter of personal preference. Everyone does what's right in their own eyes, and nobody feels able to make a judgment on what is plainly wrong that others are doing or what they're doing themselves. And we have laws still, but they are man-made laws. And there's no place for God in these laws. And everything is built upon the shifting sand of human opinion. And shifting sand, if you build on it, whatever you build is not going to last. You'll hear more and more about human rights, you'll hear less and less about what is morally right. Morality is a connection to God. You cut off God, all you have are human rights, and people will argue forever about what's a human right and what's not a human right. It's just a matter of opinion. Morality out, human rights in. That's the shape of our Western world. And then the final, fifth pillar, not that there are only five, but I'm only speaking about five. The fifth pillar of modern foolishness is the belief that above all else, you have to be yourself. You have to discover yourself. Discover your identity. You mustn't care about what anyone else says. You must discover the true you. And identity has become something of great importance in our society. We see that worked out, for example, in terms of sexual identity. People are encouraged to discover their sexual identity in terms of their very gender and in terms of their sexual orientation. People are encouraged not to be enslaved by the expectations of others, but to find their own true selves, to be what comes naturally to them, rather than being forced to pretend that they're something that they are not. And so in such a climate, we have celebrities such as Philip Schofield, who comes out as being gay. He breaks his marriage vows. He leaves his wife of more than 25 years, and he is widely commended for being true to himself. You're the one that matters. It's all about you. You've got to be yourself. If it causes chaos all around you, so be it. You've got to be the true you. In today's world, nothing is more important than being yourself. In today's world, there isn't anyone more important than yourself. And all of that appeals to the human ego. It appeals to our self-importance to think that life is all about discovering our true selves. Who can say you're wrong if that's the case? But of course, the gospel of Jesus Christ has a very different message. The gospel teaches us not that we have to discover ourselves, but that we desperately need to be delivered from ourselves. We are a mess. Our lives are full of sin. And there is no hope to be found within us. We're not going to find the answer in self-discovery. We don't need to go on a pilgrimage of self-discovery. The Bible teaches us that we need to be born again. What we are in ourselves and what we are by nature is shameful. And we need to repent of our many, many sins. We need to be remade. We need to become a new creation. And only the Lord can do that. There's such a difference between the modern way of thinking and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so here are five pillars of modern foolishness. And I hope you can see clearly the difference between this modern mindset and the Christian mindset. They are absolutely poles apart. And the two cannot be combined at all. If you want to be a Christian, well, then you have to accept that you will not fit in with the modern world around you. But if, on the other hand, you'd rather just go with the flow and live by the values of the day, well, then don't think that you can somehow also experience the benefits of being a Christian. You can't. You go that way, well, then the peace of God that's only found in Jesus Christ cannot be yours. You have a choice to make. Do you want to fit in with this world? Or do you want to believe that Christ was right and that hope is found in Him? Are you going to believe that He actually is the answer and that you are the problem? Many today are professing to be wise, but they are becoming more and more foolish. They are exchanging the truth of God for the lie. And that will never prove to be a good exchange. Amen. Now we're going to sing to God's praise. Psalm 14. We sing the whole of Psalm 14, and the tune is Spore 163. Thank those who are standing in today at short notice in terms of presenting and in terms of controlling the sound. Our psalm is 14, and we sing the whole psalm. The tune is 163. It says at the beginning, the first half, it says, "The fool has said within his heart, there surely is no God. Now, what are they like? They are corrupt. Their deeds are vile. Not one of them does good. The Lord that they say doesn't exist. The Lord looks down from heaven high upon the sons of men to see if any understand, if any seek for Him. And what does He see? He sees they all have wandered far astray, all to corruption gone, and there is no one doing good, no, not a single one." So this is what God sees. He sees the foolishness of man. And yet, God is a God who is there for His people, for those who look to Him. And it says at the end of the psalm that the Lord restores His prisoners, and Jacob, He will sing. God's people will have cause to sing, because He truly is God. So Psalm 14, we remain seated to sing. The tune is 163. And afterwards, then, I close in the benediction.
The fool has said within his heart, there surely is no God. They are corrupt, their deeds are. Not one. His workers all of wickedness. Do they not know at all who it might be?
Receive God's blessing. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.